here we go again, back with another weekly helping of Mint Sauce Chronicles. I hope everyone's in good health. Format is simple. We try and release 4 shows a month. Members get full podcast plus downloads. Non-members get part one. All new shows are released on Saturdays. I'll say it again, all new shows are released on Saturdays at sheepfan.co.uk. We also put part one on Podomatic that send them out to Spotify, Amazon, Audible, Google, Apple. And we also put them, or I put them on Rumble and Odyssey, the first hour. So you won't get hour two on there. You'll only get it at sheepfan.co.uk. Please subscribe to the website for email notifications. That won't cost you anything. If you want to be a member, it's only £2 a month. But if you want to just get it for email notifications, all you have to do is put your email there and you'll get notified when a new show's out. Although that don't matter, even if you don't get notified, because they're always there on a Saturday. End of. Thanks for all the comments and emails. Thanks for everybody buying vitamin C powder, the new multivits. I've also got some vitamin C capsules that are now in stock as well. The promo code will be in the description. Joining me is this big nostrilled freak. That's just more gentle encouragement, that, Chris.
Yeah, oversensitive, don't forget.
Yeah. He's bought some new wellies today.
I've bought a pair of wellies.
What sort of wellies are they now?
Doesn't
like compos.
No, for me, when I'm going my allotment and I'm going to jet those the backyard and realise I didn't have any wellies.
I used to live in wellies. We both used to live in wellies.
Yeah. It's the first time I've bought a pair of wellies. Well, last time I had some, I didn't buy them, put it that way.
Yeah. our dad used to wear wellies all the time. It looked like compo.
That's why I told you I bought some wellies. I thought I finally overstepped that gap.
But it's getting worrying because he used to spend half his life in his shed in field, did our dad. You've got a shed. He used to wear a vest. You've got loads of vests. He used to wear a flat cap. You've got loads of flat caps. He used to wear a check shirt over his vest. You've got a check shirt and you wear it over your vest. He used to wear tracksuit bottoms with holes in them. You've got a pair of loads of pairs.
I don't actually really wear tracksuit bottoms.
Paint splats on them and stuff.
I do wear it, yeah.
You do wear them.
The parallels are not.
But that's your sort of work gear. Now you've got wellies. But then when you go out, they called it Rise Above Live, a Colombian tourist. Colombian tourist, because she had that camera, that 1970s camera, didn't you?
Yeah.
I equate you to looking like a Cambridge professor. Obviously, I dress perfectly.
You just dress in sports clothes. Like I said, your Jacob came to see me, aging sportsman. You know, Jacob had a hoodie and tracky bottoms on, and we were going out for something to eat, and I said, please tell me you got a pair of jeans.
They won't get them Quadzillas in a pair of jeans. Which piss you on tonight?
I've got some of my governor from, what is it?
From what is it? What is it?
Majestic Wise. I tell you, I get 12 delivered every month.
Right. What's the point of just having 12 delivered? Why haven't we got them like on tap?
They did an offer where if you get 12 bottles, same, you get it cheaper.
What about 24? What I'm trying to say is, why don't you just get a month's supply? Would you drink a month's supply? Is that why you don't get a month? You don't trust yourself?
No, I wouldn't. No, I do trust myself. I'm not that bad. I just drink my little quarter. I don't get plastered or anything.
No.
I'm a habitual drinker, not an alcoholic.
A habitual drinker?
That's where I sell myself as I'm going to sleep. A habitual drinker, non-alcoholic.
No, I'm not.
In this shit show, right? If I've got to drink a bottle of wine to get through it, fair enough.
Yeah, we've all, I suppose,
we've all got a thing.
Everybody doesn't take 20 grams of vitamin C a day, do they? What I'm trying to say is that I'm not saying I do stuff that's, or shove ozone gas into the colon. I do green juice in. Every single night. Very, very rare a miss, right? There's two things I make in a week. One is a green juice, where I use apple, celery and cucumber, and I juice them, and then I blend in coconut oil, or MCT oil, C-A-M-C-T oil, with a bit of coconut water. I blend an avocado, and I put in a teaspoon of vitamin C, teaspoon of D-ribose, teaspoon of L-glutamine, and a few other stuff sometimes. Blend that and then tip the juice into it and mix it. And I have that every day. I've had it about 5 o'clock. So I'm quite in the zone with that one. And I also make a cake you might be interested to know.
No, I've seen that.
Yeah, a coconut flour cake, which is full ketogenic.
Gluten-free.
Gluten-free coconut flour. Sometimes lemon, sometimes vanilla cake. And I also, every now and again, make ketogenic custard, which is very nice as well. Sugar-free. All of it sugar-free with stevia.
Right.
I should do a video on it, really.
Should do an illustrated cookbook.
Yeah. Well, the actual green juice, there is a method to the madness. I call it a phospholipid exchange. Now, it's not my name, that. It's Dr. Susan Myhill, I think she called. A lady who was talking out about the Divock stuff. She got struck off for doing it, telling people they could take vitamin C instead of doing and looking after their immune system.
She's an evil bitch, fat.
I think she had a shill mic as well. So, yeah. I mean, how dare she tell you to look after your immune system?
You can't just go around telling people to do that.
No, telling people to eat healthily.
Not when there's a pandemic
on. No. But she had what she called...
Don't know who these people think they are.
I don't know who they think they are. I mean, a doctor for decades, and how dare she question it?
How dare you be coming up with your own opinions?
Yeah.
To do things.
She came with a juice that I saw on a website years ago called a phospholipid exchange, which basically exchanges the good fats for bad fats.
Right.
Sorry, bad fats for good fats. Wrong way around there. But I use MCT oil. She used some other oils, but I used MCT oil. I think she used hemp oil.
Right.
And a few others. I'm not saying mine's better than hers or all like that. I'm just saying I got comfortable with that. I like the effects of MCT oil, which is a derivative of coconut oil. It's like an active part of coconut oil.
Right.
But there are different ones. Mine's the C8 MCT oil. But anyway, people look it up. It's easy on your digestive system, and it's easily absorbable as well.
Absorb a bubble.
In France, Ed was saying on his video, Ed from the Air of Light, he's got a new channel called Mirror World, not Clown World. I'll try and put a link in the show notes, trying to remember that. And he was saying in France, they're trying to pass a law, or they have passed a law, with Brett Weinstein that said it. If you question the mRNA gift from the gods, Gates' magic killing machine, you can get, I think it was something like a €40,000 fine or up to 3 years in a French Foreign Legion clinic.
If you're a medical person, then?
I presume so, yes. Yeah. I don't think it might be anyone from the street, but I presumed it were a medical person. So somebody Dr. Myhill. Dr. Myhill should have been found, I don't know, €35,000 or whatever it is.
What level of insanity is that?
Well Ed said it. He actually played a video that I was going to play, which I will play. He said it's like living inside Willy Wonka's factory. I thought that summed it up perfectly.
I like where he thinks Ed.
Yeah, I do.
I liked it when he were on about the Jib Jabs coming out years ago, and he was saying it was like a Batman villain. And it is, isn't it? You know, it's like something Joker could come up with. Make it a pretend illness and then come out with the answer that actually it poisoned you.
Yeah.
It's like something from a Bond film or a superhero film.
And then spend all your time and effort and money attacking people who are actually trying to protect people. And all those people you're trying to protect are out on the streets with burning torches and pitchforks trying to kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like one of those zombie games, isn't it?
It's just surreal. And it gets more surreal because now what's happening... I listened to your friend, Dr. Campbell, talking about excess.
Nurse Gladys.
Yeah. He was doing figures about exit just a few hours ago, actually, and it's just unnoticed, isn't it? Again, like we did, and he's done before, comparing it to Vietnam and to the Second World War. Mm. I think it's like 10 times the amount of people that died in Vietnam. And look at the hoo-ha that caused and the repercussions it caused for years after, you know, people talking about it and the controversy around it. But then this has happened and nothing. Do you know what? If we were seeing this in the news, or I was just seeing him talk about it, like we said before, I'd say it's. I wouldn't believe it actually, unless
I witnessed
it in my immediate.
I remember we've said this before, but I remember you saying when it in 2020, everyone's going to find out now. It's just, we're just being conned, right? And I thought, in my naive state, we call it naivety, or hopeful state, like yours were, I thought, no, they won't notice it now. They'll notice it when people start collapsing from tackle.
Yeah, I remember
right?
saying that to me, yeah.
And we've gone past two of them stages now, and we're 3 years past all that stage, and still nobody's noticing the fact.
Do you think if people's heads were exploding in the street, I think people would still come up with an excuse?
It's always happened, that.
Yeah.
It's always happened.
What, exploding heads? Did you not hear about the great 1930s case of exploding heads?
Yeah. I can't remember the Spanish head exploding through. There were thousands of them just walking down
people's
the streets.
People's heads have
heads
always exploded. Been exploded.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's well. I was in a restaurant the other day, and I was sat next to two business guys, they were on a different table, and I heard them talking, and they weren't talking loud or like that. One said he'd had heart issues within the last 4 weeks, and he'd been taken to hospital and had to do something with him. and his mate then, who we were talking to, said he'd been in for an MRI scan. This were all recent, you know, we're talking weeks ago. And he'd had to have it taken out. Now, I don't know what they were talking about. I'm presuming it were a blood clot, but I don't know that. But it might have been a lump or something like that from an MRI scan. Now, I don't know if he'd had gadolinium. I don't know if you've heard of gadolinium, Chris.
No.
So it's a contrast agent. When you go in an MRI scan, they put this luminous dye inside you.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. I know
what you mean. Yeah. There were a famous case about it. Wasn't the Chuck Norris's wife had it, and it crippled her.
What, the fluid did?
Yeah, the fluid did. Because if they don't flush it all out, it leaves trace amounts in the body that can be catastrophic for you, causing arthritis and all sorts of organ issues and what have you. And he was suing the company, and then it went all quiet. So he's obviously been paid out. Or told to shut up. It was a massive story back, I don't know, 10 years ago, something like that. Right. Maybe not quite 10 years ago. Yeah, maybe he went around and kicked shit out of them all.
I'm going to say he can't mess with Chuck Norris. Fastest kick in the world, didn't he? I think he had.
Yeah, well, gadolinium. What a name that is and all. That sounds like something off Star Wars. It's like
a flower.
They call it a contrast agent, so it shows up when you're in the MRI scan. You don't have to have it. You can have something else. Mm. But the light flushing with gadolinium, so you've got a luminous blood. You can't make this shit up, can you? Anyway, so, yeah. But so that were two people there. And then the other guy, the first guy we're talking about, he'd had heart issues, said, yeah, I've been at it on this last few weeks because my mum's just been diagnosed with early onset of dementia. So that's one conversation. I mean, bear in mind, I don't get out right much anymore. And I certainly don't talk to people around my local area about stuff. But that's one conversation you're overhearing.
On a rare occasion, you're out going out for a meal.
And a friend of ours who helped us organise the talk up at the hotel, she was telling us, I don't know if I mentioned this last week, but her daughter, her friend's an hairdresser, and they're like in their early 30s. She's had three clients in the last 12 months. Two of them have died of strokes and aneurysms, all under 35.
Fucking hell. No, you didn't mention that on here. You mentioned it to me the other day.
Mm. And then I was driving through our local village, near where the talk's going to be. Driving through the village, me and my missus, and the road was slowed down, and there were a guy on floor with an ambulance there trying to resuscitate him. And I had to go pick my car up. I picked my car up and I drove back through the village. My wife went somewhere else. And I was coming down through the village on that corner, which we'll talk about in a second, that you've been talking about a lot, probably the ley line corner, let's call it. And I heard the helicopter landed in the field next to the little wreck that's in the... a wreck, by the way, we call a wreck a park.
Small park.
And there were two ambulances there, cop car, trying to get this old guy... going again.
Did you find out what had happened to him?
No. The defib were up, obviously it's about 500 yards up at the bloody paper shop. So they probably need one down at park as well.
Yeah.
In between. I mean, it's very dark, isn't it, Chris? And then you've got Football manager Roy Hodgson collapsed, or something happened. He got rushed to hospital during...
Was that Crystal Palace?
Training session. Yeah, Crystal Palace. You got Tony Mowbray. He's just taken over from Shredded Wheathead Wayne Rooney. He's had to give up. He's only been there 2 weeks or something. He's a football manager. Quite a semi-famous footballer. But he's been a manager for quite a long time. Then you've got Chris Hoy, who's been going through cancer treatment, who's an high-end... and Tony Mowbray actually said he had a test done with Professional Managers Association. Must do health checks on him on a regular basis. And they've told him he's got to go in for an operation. But it's pretty serious. It's not like he's having his knee done.
Mm.
These are all isolated, but these are, well, it's evidence as far as I'm concerned.
Well, my wife was telling me today that she was telling a mate at work. A mate at work was telling her how many people have got ill and what. I think like four people have passed away at Lou's work, my sister's work.
Right.
Now, and she was saying how sick people are and people are dying. I think this lady in particular's mum died as well.
Right.
I'm not saying it, I don't know if it was anything to do with anything. I don't know. But anyway, she was saying to Lou, you know, lots of people ill, dying. And Lou brought it up with her. She knows Lou's opinion and said, do you think you could be able to do it taps? And she's like, no. So they go, she goes from one breath of telling that everyone's ill and perishing to the next one, which is, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I suppose if you're not like us, it would be, it's 3 years ago now, isn't it? So it's maybe forgotten.
It's into the rearview mirror, isn't it? It's that rearview mirror thing. You know, in an old film where they're looking through, filming it back at car, you just see rearview mirror and it's going into
the nutjobs and people listen to this always knew it was a long-term plan. It weren't a short-term plan.
It were always going to get worse. To me, this is getting worse, not better. There's more people that are struggling now. And it's not because more people are getting tap. I'm sure less people are getting tap now. But these are the longer-term effects, aren't they? Of it all. You know, football managers, sports people who were pushing it. I mean, I don't know about Tony Mowbray, but I know Chris Hoy were pushing it. You know, all these people were pushing the tap. Or a lot of them were. And it's sad. You know, none of us here, I'm sure, nobody listening, want to be proven right. I don't want to be proven right. I don't want this to be real.
No, most of the time I want to be right. Not in this instance.
No. And I don't even want to be right. I don't want to be right about
anything.
I know. But no one can come and say that this isn't happening and with a clear conscience.
No. Even Nurse Campbell.
Nurse Gladys, right. I mean, I as you know, I struggle with him, honestly. I tell you why I struggle with him. In the fact that he's changed his mind, I can give everybody respite. I know some people can't, and the one and 2020 were awful, and maybe I had it a bit easier than other people. I don't
depends
know.
Depends how hard you had it, I suppose. Isn't
yeah,
it,
if you had it, you yeah, exactly. I understand. I do understand. But I can also, if somebody's been tapped and they've been injured, I can also say they can have a waking up moment. My view is we've all been jabbed at some point, probably in our lives. Does that make us evil bastards?
Mm.
Fact is, no. We've all had to wake up. They just had to wake up during this point in history. Interestingly, that the John Watt geezer and who we were talking about last week, the let me get this right. The lawyer who's looking after his case. It's a guy called, no, sorry, the lawyer who's looking after the, what's it called, the vaccine injured, right?
Right.
A guy called Terry Wilcox, right? He's also the solicitor looking after the Manchester Arena bombing. And I believe the post office IT Horizon. And he's also doing the UK 91 Divock injuries.
What do you mean, on prosecuting? Defending.
Well, sort of like, do you know, like the charity that's been set up, or the group that's been set up to this is his CV. Terry has worked in law since 1981, working for both claimants and defendants, both specialising in public inquiries and inquests. He qualified at the Fellow Institute of legal executives as a solicitor in 1986 and admitted as a solicitor in 1997. Teddy was instructed in his first public inquiry in 1987 and is currently instructed in the Manchester area arena bombing, the Post Office IT Horizon inquiry, and the UK 91 Divock inquiries. He was one of the original solicitors instructed to represent the families at the second Hillsborough inquest and supported legal teams at inquests into the deaths of four young men murdered by killer Stephen Port, blah, 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 blah. His brother was a survivor of the Hillsborough disaster. Terry's case has covered national media by the national media and his numerous TV and radio appearances to discuss legal aspects of his case. So I think he's a lawyer who has defended people by the sound of it. But he's part of the Scottish Vaccine Injury Group.
Right.
Now, I don't know whether he's been injured. I'm just pointing out there that the same guy was in charge of the Manchester Arena bombing and the Post Office IT Horizon.
What would you think about that Post Office IT thing? Because I first heard about that a few years ago. I thought it was interesting and horrible for them people, but it's been used, isn't it, for something. I don't know what it's been used for, though. It's something, because it's everywhere. And they've made a miniseries out of it as well.
Yeah, Netflix have just, or whoever it is, BBC.
BBC. So there's something weird about it, how it's got, it's got brought back up because it's going through courts or whatever, but they really made a thing about it, didn't they?
Well, like most of this stuff, it's extortion, isn't it? I mean, I
don't mean that.
Yeah, I know.
Incidental or not, the whole thing, it's been dragged up again and again and really loudly lately for some reason.
Well, it was a new Labour thing, wasn't it? Well, if you want to look at it like that. And right. Blair's been dragged into it, saying they knew what were going on, et cetera, right, et cetera. But you'll never get to the bottom of what it was. It'll be somebody who's funded new Labour into power. Basically. That wanted the contract, etc. And it'll have just been some kind of data grab, won't it? Of some nature. As everything seems to be.
Or just someone denying that it's doing anything and making a shitload of money and refusing to accept they made a mistake. And no one's going to get done for it.
No.
People killed themselves.
Yeah, people
went to prison.
People went gaga over it, divorced, broken families. Yeah. Pay a few
same shit as now. This is why I can't help putting it a parallel with there's some kind of parallel with the convent, with the jib jabs, and I don't know what it is, but there's something going on there that's similar or almost like a reenactment of it.
Well, I don't know what it means. Generally,
and also Andrew Bridgen were fighting for that Post Office thing, which is again another
fighting
weird
for it, as in the victims.
No, he was trying to expose it. Yeah, he was trying to expose it.
Right.
Which again is another weird parallel to it, and I can't help thinking there's something. I can't actually think what it could be, but there's some weird parallel to the jib jab. Is it court case, or is it the fact that, or is it distraction? I don't know.
Weird. All of the above, probably. But I mean, Bridgen did vote for the jabs, didn't he? Not just vote for the jabs, lockdowns, the whole process, didn't he? Think about whatever he's doing. But I know people don't believe him.
I'm not saying I don't believe him, but you got to remember, Fatty, going back all that time, it was 2 weeks, and then it was going to be
flatten the curve, Chris.
You can understand why people
were bought into it.
Bought into it.
Yeah, 3 weeks. 2 weeks. 3 weeks to flatten the curve, and it was so near.
3 week holiday. I'm getting paid. Yeah,
I think it was 2 weeks at start.
It's
like
kind
I
of
said,
exciting,
and then they extended it a week, didn't they? The first flu in spring ever. The Medazolan flu. Yeah, but
anyway,
never
mind. We talk about it too much, I think, but we've got to.
Yeah,
I don't want people thinking we talk about it too much, but we've got to, haven't we?
Yeah,
and it needs to be documented.
It does
over and over again.
But never mind. The largest divot tap three dart finish study ever finds the shots are linked to a small increased risk of neurological, blood, and heart disorders.
Which means, obviously, they're reading the data, because I got that from the Daily Mail, online.
Another trustworthy source.
Yeah, but a team of experts, as usual, have done this global study. And it's obviously that they've realised that people are concerned and they're just downplaying it with this shitty article, aren't they?
Yes.
As usual. I mean, I think I saw in that article, it said only 27 people had died of something. But they kept emphasising that how many 99 million shots have been given out and only 27 people had died.
Yeah.
It's all right then. For something that probably wouldn't have hurt them in the first place.
Well, if you think about the swine flu in America in the 1970s, I think something like 10 people died and they pulled it.
Yeah. Well, it said in that article, I was flicking through it here, the jib jabs are estimated to have averted more than 19 million deaths worldwide, including 3 million in the US alone. How did they work that out? Ferguson?
Yeah, Ferguson with his modelling again.
The report said that of the 23 million AstraZeneca shots administered worldwide, they would have expected 76 cases of GBS, but 190 events were observed, accounting for 2.9...
GBS is Guillain-Barré syndrome.
Yeah. A 2.9-fold increase. An 11.9 increase, whatever. Yeah.
Guillain-Barré syndrome is basically swelling of the brain.
Yeah.
It can create all sorts of problems.
And when typically,
you think about it, when you think
Mario
about it, that's
Guiditis.
What meningitis is.
Right.
Swelling of the brain. Or partly.
Right. Typically, the myocarditis instances have been relatively minor.
Mario. You mean playing that game where you...
Myocarditis instances have been relatively mild, leading to just 28 deaths. It's all right, then. On Mario Kart, by the way... Me and Matt, I noticed playing Mario Kart with my nephew because we got a Nintendo Switch for Christmas. It says, just as a side note, when you're racing around the track, it says MKTV.
Yeah, I've seen Mario Kart. Well, TV. I saw that. I haven't played on it for ages.
Yeah. MKTV. MK. More MK Ultra TV.
Yeah. Never mind, it's Heart Month in 2024, in February, this month.
Should be.
Don't know if you knew that, Heart Month. In the UK, someone dies from a heart or circulatory condition every 3 minutes.
Right.
Well, we've been on half an hour. It's 10 people.
Yeah, mad.
This February, go red to raise money for life-saving research and learn CPR for free in 15 minutes with Revive R TM trademark.
Why didn't they do that over the last 25 years or whatever?
I don't know. They didn't need to.
Why have they just decided to do it now?
They didn't need to do it over the last 25 years. The British Heart Foundation's net income increased by 2% in 2022 to 2023 to £144 million in 1 year.
What is that? Is that the turnover fire?
No, that's how much they raised.
They raised £144 million?
Yeah.
Have they cured anything?
No. No, it's gone up. One in every 3 minutes somebody dies.
So it's gone up.
Yeah.
And they're raising more money.
Yes. Well, you imagine, right, in 10 years they've raised roughly 1.5 billion, let's just say.
I remember you doing the numbers. I think, was it on hearts or was it on cancer?
I can't remember. It's all the same.
Cancer
research is larger than that. It's about 700 million.
Yeah, I think it was the cancer one. And you worked out that the whole economy would just crumble if everyone just stopped.
Well, listen to this. Over £437 million of the British Heart Foundation funded research is now underway.
So £437 million.
Yeah. We are currently supporting 720 research projects, 464 lead researchers and 248 students and 1,100 research staff in 48 institutions across the UK. Think of the power that wields.
Mm.
48 institutions. We're talking of universities here. Let's get it straight. I'm going to spread me 437 million out in these institutions.
Convincing everyone how it starts and where they've got it.
Yeah. We awarded £116 million in new research grants during the year 2022-2023, including our largest ever reward of 30 million for Cure Heart. Don't know what Cure Heart is.
Mad.
And it's done nothing. Nothing. Apart from tell people to eat cakes.
Has any charity done anything for it?
None. Nothing. They've never sold anything.
If you were to take the rising homeless problem in one of the richest Western countries that we've got, and in America, all these, you know, never discussed, that is a very solvable cash problem, I would say, wouldn't you? Where you can actually throw cash at it and solve it quite instantaneously. Do you not think? I'm not saying solve it, but you can definitely get people off the
streets. I think
streets,
the problem with these issues that they're raising money for, right, is on paper, they all look easily solvable. I'm not saying they're not solvable, by the way. I'm not trying to... they're doing it, it's never going to solve it. Because
I would say if you threw that amount of money at the homelessness situation, they could solve it. That's why...
And I'll tell you why they can't. And it's not because I'm being disparaging or disagreeing with you, by the way. The issue is the conveyor belt of people that are coming up behind them. So they're living in abusive, traumatic families. They're leaving the armed forces. Whatever it might be, being released from prison. They're being mentally... damaged, the more are going to end up on the streets. It's a bottomless pit of people ending up on the streets. So you can't solve it. So they actually raise money for something they're never going to be able to solve because the actual system is broken behind the scenes to start with.
Oh, yeah, I agree with that. But
yeah,
it's a more instantaneous solvable problem is what I mean. You can actually take people physically off the streets and put them in somewhere.
I know what you mean.
It'll never end. I know what you mean. Yeah.
But that's not me saying we shouldn't be helping people. What I'm trying to say is that I would say
system's fucked at the core. The roots are what?
Is broken.
That's what's broken.
Yeah. And nobody wants to sort it out. No. Because if a charity succeeds, it's actually...
Closes down. Yeah. And what should happen every couple of years? A charity should close its doors and go, we've done it. Yes, well done, guys.
Yeah, well done.
We're all going to have to go and find new jobs, but we've actually solved the problem.
We've actually solved it. Nobody's dying from that anymore.
Yeah.
Nobody's hungry. Climate change is finished. Global climate warming change was just a thing that we thought of. Catalytic converters solved that. and diesel overriding petrol in the 80s and 90s solved that. And 2000s. And all the other stuff that we had everybody doing. But no, we just have to carry on even more.
We can't solve it. Talking about that very quickly,
you have to say it quickly.
I had a weird dream the other night, right? Yesterday, in fact, right? That me and Missus were in a car. And you know, imagine like San Francisco, you go over a big jump. Yeah. You know, like you're doing films, and then it comes down. So in this dream, right, the car was coming down, but it was almost at a pinnacle where it was going to hit and roll forward, if you imagine. Mm-hmm. But it just didn't, and it landed and bounced, and we were both laughing.
Were your wife driving?
Yes.
That didn't surprise me.
She scares me when she drives. But we're both laughing and cheering. This was a dream, right? Mm-hmm. And yesterday I was having my lunch, and I was watching YouTube, and for some reason I put in Tesla fails. Right. So I was looking at Tesla fires in cars. Jesus.
I know.
There's some serious... It's quite shocking, isn't it? Mm. And also, when I put in Tesla... I wasn't being morbid. I was just interested after that video you put on where they were all frozen. And there were loads of news reports came up in America of people burning in cars.
Jesus.
I'm not saying... I said load. Not load. I saw a couple of...
Praise to Elon Musk.
Where people are actually burnt in cars.
You don't mention that guy, old musky boy, does he?
This one guy said he just got out of his car and he kept saying the most horrifying thing was his two kids' car seats were in the back. He's got a 2-year-old and a 4-year-old, I can't remember exactly. And you could see he was disturbed that he managed to get out, but if they would have been in the car, he would have struggled to get them out. And then the fire guys, they have to spray so much water on it that they just give up. They decided not to bother spraying it with water because it doesn't do anything. Right. So they just leave it to burn out. Then if they do water it down, then they put it on the back of a truck and it can still set on fire on its way back. And then another one they were saying...
Like self-combust.
Yeah, exactly. That's how they described it, self-combusting. And they also said when there was that hurricane in America and there was loads of floods, because it was salt water, right? It does something to the ion batteries. So all them cars then could at any moment self-combust. Something to do with, someone will know better than me, something to do with the salt and the ion battery. They can therefore just set off in flames. And when they take them to, after they've rescued them from a side of the road and they've had a burnout, they leave them on their own, like away from everything, because they can still set on fire again.
That reminds me of that, them cars. Can you remember Judy Wood saying them cars, them toasted cars?
Yeah.
In that car park.
Yeah. And it reminds you of the fires in California. Mm. Anyway, I had this dream, right? And I'm watching this video. And then I see this car on one of these, I don't know if they were racing or what they were doing, but it just took off over a hump in San Francisco and nearly went over and did a full roll, but just caught it in time and landed on its wheels. And it was exactly what I dreamt about that night.
Weird.
And I actually told my missus, and she said, oh, you've had another one of those things. And I said, yeah. I said, I'm glad I've had it, because I had one for a while.
You're missing them.
Yeah, kind of missing them. Bizarre. But I won't have a Tesla given to me.
Well, we might be forced into Teslas at some point.
But how weird that they can't test all that technology that they've been telling us we've got to have for the last 10 years. Mm. Why is it not being tested for cold that ruins a battery, or it can just combust? Is it on purpose? Is it all for on purpose?
Or in the mobile phone industry.
Because they've tried to rush it through too quick, though, fire.
Same type of batteries. And mobile phones were blowing up.
It's the same type of battery. Yeah. Another thing, just quickly, they were also saying that, and I didn't realise this, because I thought electric cars were light because they hadn't got a massive engine in them. But they're actually up to a third heavier than a normal car.
We're like 2 tons more.
Well, you take a battery out of a phone. You take a battery out of a phone, they're heavy out. That's the heaviest part of the phone. Because it must be compact, whatever. Mm. And basically, an electric car is just a car on top of a battery.
Yes.
Battery, you've got wheels on it, and then the chassis over the top.
Yeah.
The battery is the main.
Again, I think we spoke about, when we've just been recording the Huxley thing, but we talked, the electric car is just a milk float, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really, it's just a dodgem. There's no, the energy about it, when I see them, there's nothing to it. It's like everything else they're doing at the moment. They're taking the whole enjoyment. There's something, I'm not a petrolhead.
By all design and no substance. There's no substance to them, is there?
I'm not into a motorbike. I'm not really into cars. But there's something about a petrol engine or a diesel engine. Or an internal combustion engine.
The mechanics of it.
Just like a steam train. Something about a steam train.
Yeah, well, if one of them steam trains goes down your road, you watch it, don't you?
Yes. I would do if it went down road.
No, you know those... Sorry, steam train. You know, I saw one of them steam rollers.
Steam rollers,
you know, them old...
Yeah, yeah.
Big green, blooming...
Yeah.
They're fascinating.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, and that was, technology at its best at the time.
Well, the works of art. I mean, it's like when you watch World War One and they say, well, we're very primitive in World War One. No, that was pinnacle of war at that particular time. Yeah. When you've seen them guys walking inside of them weird-looking tanks with tracks that go all the way around them, they were like, these machines were like the edge
pinnacle of technology.
Technology, yeah.
Also, as well in World War One and World War Two, where the army men had like leather pouches and stuff. There were a lot of leather. You know, they're nice, intricate. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do, yeah.
Everything now is just cheap shite.
Plastic.
Yeah.
Plastic shite. And there's no, just like art, just like we talk about.
There's no substance.
There's absolutely no substance. It's all about shock value, isn't it? Mm. Something like Andy Warhol started that type of stuff off in art, didn't he? Where, what did Campbell's soup or a can of soup or Campbell's a can of pop soup, or something? Yeah. Where it just... I heard Crow talking about that actually the other day.
Trashed that. No, they trashed that. And as we know, it was a CIA operation.
Mm.
And then you look at what the art people of now are. Tracy Emin, who shacked someone in a tent and that's a fucking work of art. Come on. I mean, they don't care.
What's that? I didn't know about that.
Tracy Emin's like one of Britain's most famous artists. And I challenge you to find anything that's any good.
Right.
Even beyond any of the other ones. I remember saying to Seb once, and he was like studying art at school. And he was really into it. And he said, oh, Tracy Emin, this is like one of Britain's famous artists. We were in a bookshop in Soho. And I said, if you go through that book and you find anything that looks decent, I'll give you 20 quid. And he couldn't find anything. You can try and tell me that it's brilliant and I'm too thick to work it out, but I'm sorry. Bullshit. I'm crying bullshit.
But these people are funded into popularity, aren't they? A bit like Amazon. They're funded to succeed. Netflix, the funder, they can lose billions and billions and billions. But
it's a similar model. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like I've said loads of times on here, art, books, films, music, we're told what to like. Mm. It's not very often you make an actual organic decision yourself and decide. Well, I'm not saying we do, but generally, if you're looking, you know, a film magazine or an art magazine, they're telling you what you should like. Not what you might discover on your own, if you know what I mean.
She's apparently Romani gypsy, isn't she? But her cousin is Baroness Hussein Is, or S.
Oh, what a coincidence.
Liberal Democrat.
Right. So there you go.
Yeah. She's reportedly a Sudanese slave of the Ottoman Empire.
Well, she's a controversial artist now, fair.
Right.
Has been for 30 years. She's like on the parallel of Damien Hirst kind of stuff, you know. Again, just these people chose by Saatchi and Saatchi's. You're told that they're important, so everyone buys them, makes loads of money, blah, blah, blah.
Again, it's like, you know, some of these scientists, the ones that popped up, like Valance, who were apparently rushed through. And a lot of these people are similar, aren't they? And it's a bit like, let's just say you got 10 musicians of the same caliber as your Seb at 21 year old. You promise them that they're going to be pop stars. You put them to guitar training school. Mm. One of them's going to be a good guitarist at the end of it.
Mm.
They are, aren't they? And you write them a few songs, get their hair cut, and there you go.
It's very clear to see who's pushed for. Well, for instance, look at Beatles and McCartney. I mean, they're still pushed now, aren't they? Still sold now to make sure they've got that legacy there. How many other artists and musicians are there out there who are fantastic but get nothing?
Plenty.
Yeah.
Well, again, they're a big thing, isn't there? One-hit wonders.
Mm.
So they write one song, or they have one song written for them, or one song allowed in the charts, if you like. And they actually need these one-hit wonders, don't they?
Well, also, then one-hit wonders are continually played on the radio for decades.
Yes.
So someone's making a coin out of them, even if they were one-hit wonders.
Mm. Yeah, and not only that, they're having an like you're talking about this Tracy Emin. I mean, I've never, I have heard of her name now, but I didn't know what she did or like that or who she was.
No.
But that goes back to like the Huxley times where Huxley was married into the Huxleys were married into all these literary and artists. Families, and you look at the families like the Arnold family, and all of them were writers, not poets. How's that possible? You're not just one or two, like, you know, several, 10 of them were all artists and poets. That is not possible, is it?
And also in that day, artists and poets will have had the same, more clout than have had, like, film star level clout.
Yes.
Weren't they?
Yeah.
An influence, I mean.
Yeah, they were sought after, weren't they, by the people in power, weren't they, to invite around for parties and stuff like that? Because they influenced.
Like modern day Hollywood film stars are.
Yeah. Going back to this Emin, is this what you're on about? 1999, Emin had her first solo exhibition in the US. She won a Turner Prize. My Bed.
Yes, that's the one, yeah.
A ready-made installation consisting of her own unmade dirty bed in which she had spent several weeks drinking, smoking, eating, sleeping, and having sexual intercourse while undergoing a period of severe emotional flux. Obviously, she had severe emotional flux.
Yeah, gotta have that artistic pain.
The artwork featured used condoms and blood-stained underwear.
Nice. I mean, if that's not degrading art, the art world, I don't know what is. And it won the Turner Prize, which is like the most prestigious art prize, apparently.
But that can't be real, can it?
I used to buy into all that shit when I was younger as well, fair.
But that can't be real, because if she's taken that to... She's taken that to America, for argument's sake, right? How can that be real? It's been moved. Unless it's still in that original place where she said she actually did it.
Oh, no, we're in galleries, fair. This bed.
No, I know. That's what I mean is, that's apparently meant to probably be in her... flat or something like that, innit?
And they moved it out.
That can't stay like that, can it?
Well, it doesn't matter, does it? I mean, that's definitely not eco-friendly acts, and they've had to fly that bed to America.
Them bloodstained knickers, is that what they call period art?
That was pretty good.
But it first created in 1998, it was exhibited at the Tate Gallery in 1999 and shortlisted for the Turner Prize. It was sold at auction by Christie's in July 2014 for £2.5 million.
Fucking bed with some undercrackers on it.
Bed with some undercrackers and they used Johnny.
I mean, yeah, if you can't get any more upside down well than that, I don't know what,
And the subject apparently is mental health, surrealism, originality and conceptualism.
How about it's bollocks?
Yeah. And the medium is found happening. I don't know what that is. A found object or found art is art created from undisguised but often modified items or products that are normally considered materials from which art is made. It's like, it's just bollocks, isn't it?
Absolute bollocks.
Postmodernism.
And you could, I'm not one for a debate, but you could debate that all day long. It's still bollocks.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody means it. Nobody. La 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 la. Absolute bollocks.
Apparently, yeah. Artist Billy Childish, an English painter, author, poet, photographer, filmmaker, singer, and guitarist, stated that he also had an old bed of hers in the shed, which he would make available for £20,000. Ah, here we go, Chris. My bed, that's what they call the art piece, was bought by Charles Saatchi.
Yeah, they always are. Always. Look at Damien Hirst, same thing.
Damien Hirst, we brought up that, did it? And it was, and he bought it for £150,000.
Yeah.
And it sold for £2.5 million.
There you go. Money laundering. It's just,
turd
it's just
polishing.
Passing money between people.
Or undie washing.
Yeah. And then you've got Tracy Emin. Everything she does from that moment when Saatchi has purchased one of her bullshit art pieces. Mm-hmm. He's worth a fortune. End of story.
Yeah.
Same with Damien Hirst.
Yeah.
Everyone's happy. You create this one artist and make him a multimillionaire, and everyone makes money out of it.
But it's more than that, isn't it, Chris? Because it degrades humanity, doesn't it?
That's, yeah, exactly.
The basic of it. Yeah.
Exactly. It's degrading someone who can. Lucian Freud, Freud's nephew, he could paint, to be fair to him. You know. Maybe that was the end of that era, I suppose. I think he used to be most highest valued British artist. His paintings are amazing.
Them Saatchis are like the gatekeepers of art, aren't they?
Yes, exactly.
Especially in the UK, probably, but probably in the world as well.
Probably spreads around the world, but 100%. I mean, how devastating do you think I found it when I realised that the old art industry is just as corrupt as any other thing that we get obsessed with?
All of this and music. I mean, you've got music, then you've got the Sam Smith type, what he's walking around in, but then all of this is like degrading humans, isn't it?
Yeah, because we're living in the synagogue of Satan.
What was that one where they sawed that a sheep in half and put it in formaldehyde?
That was Damien Hirst.
Right. So what?
Again, Saatchi did the same thing. But I think the first time he did it was a pregnant cow, wasn't it?
Right.
If I'm right. Then they did a sheep, and I think then they did a shark as well. And then he put molded a head and filled it with blood. I think that was him.
Right.
Nice. I mean, all this stuff, you couldn't be any more.
Well, when we were doing the Orwell stuff, the guy, there were a few guys in that, I forget what he was called now, who ran the magazines and stuff. He was an art, what they call him?
Critic.
And all these art critics we worked him back, and he was a intelligence operative.
Mm.
They've
got the clout though, because they're telling you what you should, like I was saying earlier, they're telling you what you should like. Mm. They're telling who's the important artist. Who's making the important film, the critics? Who's making the important food and food critique, if you like?
Yeah, and also they're the ones, like, say, Simon Cowell, who's been chosen to pick the next direction of where they want to take yeah. culture.
And look where the next direction of art went, from Therese Emmons' disgusting bed to, what's his name, cutting a pregnant cow in half. You know, none of it's all quite unsavoury, isn't it? I mean, don't get me wrong as well, I will actually say, I think a lot of art is better when it's, I mean, since they are my sculptures, when it's from its darkest place. I do think that's true. But a bed covered in Johnny's and mental stained knickers is just going beyond a fucking joke, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. She was Emin was appointed CBE, Commander of the Order of the British Empire, 2013. And she was named in 2013 as one of the 100 most powerful women in the UK. Interesting nonsense, stuff, isn't it?
It is interesting. The art world is interesting.
But what's interesting is that it never stops from the Huxleys and before, and Orwell, the early 1900s, mid 90s. It's just carried on, hasn't it? It's the same plan that's rolled out. She shares Turkish background with Boris Johnson as well.
Ooh, Tracy Emin.
Yeah.
Have you just found that out?
I'm just seeing a picture of them both here together.
Right. We should do an art one fight. I'd love that.
Yeah.
I could fight a few over to talk about.
Yeah. But I mean, not even doing any research there. That's just... that's just seeing, you know, just having a quick look while you're talking. You can see why these people are chosen, can't you? They're just, they sort of have that persona as a rebel.
Oh, 100%. Like, you've just put up their political activity. Emin has been a critic of Britain's income tax regime, but then she stood next to Boris Johnson.
And she got a CBE. And she's not willing to pay 50% of her income. I can understand not wanting to flush your money down drain. I'm no problem 100%. With that.
100%. I don't blame anyone for dodging tax. Fuck that. I mean, especially when we talked about the other week about how much billions going to Ukraine, billions going to Israel, billions going to the internet, billions going on the jib jab. Would you blame anyone for dodging tax at this point in time?
Well, I heard a thing where RFK Jr., sorry, we're talking about how much money we're going to Ukraine. And how much we're getting wasted there. Never mentioned, though. He was saying $15 billion going to Ukraine and all this. Never mentioned that America had given $15 billion to Israel to help with Palestine.
Yeah. Weird, isn't it? How the choice... have to ring there, don't they?
They have to ring a lot.
And also, why don't those Kennedys come up, why don't those Kennedys come up with some different names instead of Robert or Bobby or John?
Yeah.
Like Stuart or
I think it's to keep it in your mind.
Because you get confused, don't you? You go,
isn't his daughter married, his daughter-in-law, an ex, she's ex-CIA?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's his name? RFK is married to the woman out of Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Which you mentioned in a podcast a while ago.
Yeah.
She played Larry David's wife in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right. Larry David, his ex-wife, is a major global climate warming change activist. But she offsets her private jet usage with carbon credits.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I hope you're happy there, yeah. And so does Larry David. They offset all their private jet usage with carbon credits.
Right.
But you can't go on EasyJet to Torremolinos. you peasant bastard.
You scumbag.
How dare you? Yeah. Even though EasyJet say they're obviously offsetting all their carbon credits as well.
What, the carbon credits come out of backup plane when it's flying?
Just spewing it out with chemtrails. What are we living through? We are living through that Charlie and Chocolate Factory, aren't we? Mm. Yeah. 100% living through that.
It's a comedy skit, isn't it?
Yeah. It's not a right good one, though.
Saturday Night Live level.
Yeah. Let me play this, try and find this video of this Admiral Rachel Levine, who thinks that global climate boiling change is actually racist.
Hello, I'm Admiral Rachel Levine.
The fuck
this
is that?
Black History Month, I'm pleased to partner with OMH in advancing better health through better understanding for Black communities. Climate change is having a disproportionate effect on the physical and mental health of Black communities. Black Americans are more likely than white Americans to live in areas and housing that increase their susceptibility to climate-related health issues. And 65% of Black Americans report feeling anxious about climate change's impact. Through our Office of Climate Change and Health Equity and the Office of Environmental Justice, we're working with providers and community leaders to identify innovative approaches that empower communities to address the health consequences linked to climate change. Visit hhs.gov for more information and tune in next Thursday to hear from another HHS leader on how you can contribute to advancing better health for Black communities.
For more information, visit hhs.gov/black-history-month. Produced by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Fuck, what the fuck was that? I know you can't see that picture, but was it a bloke or a woman?
Tranny.
Right.
Admiral Rachel Levine.
Right. Fucking hell.
What are we living through?
What are we
living through? That.
She dressed as a general, lady, by the way. Right. With loads of medals and stuff.
She's an admiral. Admiral Rachel Levine. She's the leading health person in the Admiralty, in the Navy.
So, I know, forget the fact that it's fucking whatever in hell is going on. What the fuck are they talking about with Black people suffer more from climate change?
Global climate warming change is racist. And if you don't think it is, you're insane.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing, isn't it? 20 years ago, that person would have been insane. Now yes. I'm insane for questioning her
why
insanity.
A bloke dressed in a dress is an admiral.
Put it on a high-pitched voice.
Yeah. Like they've been eating an helium balloon.
Yeah. And now I'm mad for questioning that thing, talking like that.
Talking about that as well.
And I'm racist. I'm probably racist as well.
You are. I can tell by your nostrils.
For questioning that.
It is Willy Wonka, isn't it?
I don't even know what to say to that.
No, there is nothing. To finish off with a couple of things, you were talking about, and it's ironic that I turned mine off this week. Maps on phones.
Right. Well, I've got a burner phone, and if I'm honest, the one thing that is handy on a phone is maps when you're lost and a decent camera.
Hmm.
When I bought my burner phone about 5 years ago, I treated myself to a nice camera. Hence that one that you were saying when we were at Rattreat and had that camera. So I treated myself to a nice camera. So I'm no longer involved in a ridiculously priced iPhone package for about 80 quid above. Anyway, I was in work today and one of the young lasses said, oh, I've just rung my boyfriend because he's still in bed. I looked on Snapchat Maps, I think she said. And I could see he was still at my house and he was supposed to be at work. So I rang him anyway and he woke him up, etc. And I said, what is that? I mean, I knew you could track your phone. I didn't realize how far it had gone. And she said, yeah, I've got him on Snap Maps. I've got him on Google, on Snap Maps or something. And basically I said, so what? You've got a tracking device for your boyfriend. And she went, no, it's not a tracking device. It's something maps, it's maps, whatever. And I went, well, it's a tracking device. She goes, no, it's some Snap Maps. And I said, well, can you tell where your boyfriend is at all times? She said, yes. I said, so it's a tracking device. No, it's not a tracking. She kept telling me it wasn't a tracking device. I said, it is a tracking device because you know where he is. And then she showed me this app where she can basically see where all the mates are at any given time. I mean, as a parent, that's pretty useful, isn't it? Really? See where your kid is. I can get it. But I said, what if your boyfriend goes near one of your mates? Does an alarm go off?
It's like
should install an electric shock in it so it shocks him if he goes near?
It's like an ankle bracelet, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's all innocent on the surface, isn't it? But
it's all programming to get your mind on tracking.
Yeah.
That it's beneficial.
Yeah.
Because like you say, it's just maps. No, it's not just maps.
She kept saying it, yeah.
That it's actually tracking you. No, it's just
I didn't even know that existed.
No, I didn't know.
If you'd have shown me that 10 years ago, I'd have been like, oh my God. And like I was saying to you the other day with the robot dogs, and I always bring up the robot dogs, but if they start, I'm talking like a paranoid, total lunatic here, but I've always thought, right, once they've got your face and they've got your where you live, robot dogs are coming. And I was saying to you the other day, in the beginning, them robot dogs, I remember there was one, I think it was called the cow or the donkey, and they said, oh, and it can go over all terrain, and it can face map the guy who it's supposed to be following to carry all his military gear, and it can follow him anywhere. And I were immediately thinking, and it could also follow with a gun on its back. We put this face into it, and we go, sick, get him.
Yeah,
and
it
goes looking for you, Terminator style-y. I mean, I know I'm a paranoid lunatic, but is that what we're looking at in the future?
I don't
just
know.
Dreamt up the way
things are going, Chris, I think them birds are going to be tweeting, and we're just going to hear the clip-clop of robot dog legs up and down roads.
Yeah.
That's the concern. Anyway, and the last one, they released a new story out saying that cereals can cause heart attacks and strokes. 80% of Americans test positive for chloramiquat, which may cause infertility and delayed puberty. And they're saying it's niacin that's causing it. Niacin is vitamin B3, which is very important for people with mental issues. It can help depression and schizophrenia and psychological issues. And it's a vitamin added to cereals, breads and pastas, and might be linked to heart disease.
I forgot. I was going to bring this up, actually, because I'd seen that a few times.
Yeah.
And to me, it was just another one of them things that we always bring up where it's covering any health issues that never existed before, and now they've dreamt up the fact that it's in some fucking cereal.
So well, another thing it does, though, Chris, it puts people up. I mean, there's a lot of talk about, at the minute, and we're having this conversation with today, about bad vitamins. Vitamins are a big business now. I know I sell vitamins, but vitamins is a big business. And there is a lot of shit out there. But what you can't just say niacin's bad for you, because niacin's an essential vitamin. It's an essential one.
So what do you think they're doing there with that article? Scaring people off niacin.
Mm.
And also coming up with an excuse why kids might be getting ill.
Well, there's a lot of reports that niacin helps mental health. What they're trying to push at the minute.
Right. Yeah.
They don't want people eating niacin, do they?
Right.
And the quickest way to destroy people's kids' mental health is via food, because they eat food.
So they found out that
cereal and fluoride. So they destroy your mental health with fluoride and not give you the vitamin that you need, probably one of the things that needs to defend yourself from.
Or is it they've realised that niacin's in some of these cereals and they're fending people off taking them? Is that what you're trying to say?
And there is that. And also then on the other side of it, niacin in cereals can cause heart attacks. Well, it doesn't actually say that. Niacin in cereals, hyphen, heart attack, strokes, 80% of Americans test positive for chloroquine, right?
So they're covering up
So they've put that together there as a headline. I'll show you what I mean. The headline, but it's not actually. It's not actually what. If you read that there, it seems like niacin in cereals, heart attack, strokes, 80%. You don't read the hyphen.
Mm.
Yeah? And the hyphen really is the bit that separates it all. Mm. So niacin in cereals. So what they're saying is that a vitamin added to cereals might be linked to heart disease. A study found niacin found in many breakfast cereals and other enriched and fortified products is a common vitamin B or B vitamin previously recommended to lower cholesterol. Though they don't recommend it anymore. So they're trying to play niacin down because it obviously helps heart. Now they're saying it causes heart issues.
So are they basically saying in all these shit foods there is actually something good in there, so you shouldn't have it because of that?
I don't know. I don't know the quality of the niacin they use. But what I would say is that vitamin B3 is an essential vitamin.
Mm.
Without it, without these essential nutrients, the reason they're called essential is because if you don't have them, your body starts breaking down. That's why they're called essential. You know, they're rewriting science, aren't they? They're rewriting what the science was, that they found that these vitamins were, these nutrients were essential for you. Now we're nutrient depleted and we're reliant on supplementation, if you like, because the nutrients are in the food. The problem is then the supplements can be laced with poisons and things like that as well.
Just on what you've told me there, I would say that the covering up kids getting damaged by the jib jabs,
yeah,
especially in America, more than here. And they're also, they found something good in cereal, possibly something good in shitty cereal, and they're trying to blame that.
It might be the one thing that's actually any good in
that's
cereal.
That's what I'm trying to say, yeah.
But they obviously want it taken out because it does help mental health. Definitely helps mental health, does B3. It also causes what they call a niacin flush. A niacin flush, if you take niacin, you can get non-flush niacin or vitamin B3. It's called Niactol or niacinamide. And you do flush a bit. That's why it's niacin flush. And it opens up your capillaries and stuff. It's quite good if you're going in a sauna. Good for detoxing. Right. Good for detoxing. But this is what these researchers do. Researchers found a chemical called 4-PY, created when the body breaks down niacin, is strongly associated with heart attacks. It's strange, isn't it? Because they can come up with the largest Divot 91 jab study ever, but it's only a small proportion. Even though they did find a link, it's only a small proportion. Whereas this doesn't find anything. It's strongly associated. It means nothing, that. Their words mean you've given me £1 million to do this study and find out what I need to find.
Yeah.
With heart attacks, strokes, and cardiac conditions in children. I've added the children bit. Dr. Stanley Hazen of the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio said, niacin could be a previously unrecognized yet significant contributor to the development of cardiovascular disease.
Lots of coulds and maybes there.
Yeah. The main takeaway is not that we should cut out our entire intake of niacin, but a discussion over whether a continued mandate of flour and cereal fortification with niacin could be warranted.
Let's take it out in the flour sauce. Yeah.
Let's put more fluoride in. So I looked up what Clomiraquat is, and it's a plant growth regulator. It's typically sold as chloride salt. Chloride is basically the plant hormones. So they said in their research that chloramiaquat is what happens when niacin is broken down in the body. But here it says it's a plant hormone. So that means it's added to the cereal, or it's in the cereal already. It's got nothing to do with the niacin.
Right.
Anyway. Yeah. But anyway, who cares? Because a row erupted, Chris, just on the last story here. As hospitals in the UK say that hormone-filled milk from trans women, like Rachel Levine there, who were born male, is just as good for a baby as the real thing. How can it be just as good as the real thing? That doesn't make sense anyway.
Bloody hell.
Listen, this is the words you use. A leaked letter.
Breast leaked.
breast pump letter from the medical director at the University Hospital Sussex NHS Foundation Trust describes both as human milk and says that they are ideal food for infants.
Off the effing trolley. I mean, they've even discovered recently that if your kid's ill, the breast milk changes to counteract the illness. Are you trying to tell me some pus pumped out of a man's tit is going to do that?
It's human milk. Or what were it Lenny Henry used to call it? Decondensed milk. Can you remember on Tiz was? Decondensed milk sandwiches.
Women should be furious about this. The one thing that they do, unique to men.
But again.
And do brilliantly, that we would whinge about forever. they're taking that away. I remember, you know, Fathead, and we're going back a few years here, and I was listening to the radio, and he had this guy on, and it was saying, I mean, don't get me, I'm actually going to back him up a little bit, but you know, like this whole thing now where men have to be, and I've been there when my children were born, and you've got to be in there when the children are born, and women are going through this horrific experience. But they had this guy on talking about his horrific, and it is pretty hard going. But let's be honest, none of us are suffering worse than women giving birth.
No.
We're just observing.
No.
But they had this guy
we're
on.
Not even taking part.
No. We shouldn't be in the room. It should be like Victoria in England where we're out of the room. And for some reason, we've now got to be in the room. But I'm sure someone will disagree with me on that. But this guy were on the radio saying how traumatised he was watching his wife give birth. His wife wasn't even on the radio show, just him.
Well, when my youngest were born, I mean, I wasn't right well at the time, but I'm making excuses up there. When my youngest were born, they had to give me gas and air. They were having a whitey.
it's a horror show, isn't it?
Wife turned around in the bed and went, "What fucking use are you?"
Do you know what I noticed when my nephew was born?
Really hurt my feelings. Very sensitive to me.
The nurse, very cleverly, because I was stressed obviously, gave me a bottle of water and said, just keep giving her water. And that was good enough to just keep me occupied. She knew I was, you know, looking for something to do.
Yeah.
But when it happens, it's like an alien being born.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. You know something I've realised, though?
These are our children you're talking about.
I don't know if I've mentioned this on here. I think I did mention it. You know, when I looked into Cicely's eyes and this voice in my head said, we're going to wind mummy up. And I always thought it was me, but it was her, 100%. Because all she does is wind her mum up. She's only five. Every day, just a constant wind up. Stop tapping. Tap, 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 tap. I'm sure everyone who's got a child understands.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, then we're going to leave that hormone-filled human milk episode.
That
the
that
one old, thing we're going to talk
old
about.
Old bed covered in Johnny's.
Oh yeah, old bed covered in Johnny's. period art. Yeah, and that's the degradation of humans. We're going to talk about where the fuck is Sean Penn?
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen him in Palestine handing out Oscars.
No.
Weird that, isn't it?
Yeah. Where's he going?
Why out there?
Why is the Ukraine no longer relevant?
Where's Bono? Why ain't Bono?
And also, one thing we haven't talked about is that interview with, who is it? And what's his name? Putin. Mm. Weird on a lot of levels, I think, because I don't believe, what's his name? What's that journalist called?
Tucker Carlson, that high-pitched voice.
Yeah.
Yeah,
looks like he's doing it. I've never trusted that guy, to be fair.
No,
but let's say we do trust him, and he's brilliant, right? And he's gone over to be interview Putin. Surely that should be fantastic.
Putin Mark II, yeah,
whatever state you're going on now. But what I mean is, on surface level, if that is happening, that's a fantastic thing. But immediately the West, if you like, are going, oh, it's disgusting. There he goes over there and talks to Putin when Putin's doing such evil stuff. I don't care how evil he is, right? If you've got a chance to go and talk to someone, go and talk to something. Conversations can end everything.
But they don't want to end, do they? Because they want a bottomless pit of money going into somewhere.
Don't get me wrong, I think that Tucker Carlson thing's a stage show anyway.
It reminded me of the Osama bin Laden when that CNN guy went in to see...
In his cave.
Bin Laden in his cave, cave.
But the entire American military couldn't find him.
No, they couldn't find him.
CNN guy found him.
CNN guy found him.
Yeah.
Through his contacts.
But...
That's what journalists do, Chris. He had a trilby on with that card inside.
Yeah, a little card
press
inside,
on it.
Yeah.
Same press on it.
A little orange Mac, yellow Mac.
Yeah.
Like Dick Tracy.
Yeah. And he met this guy in an alley and he said...
Licked his pencil.
Afghanistan. Yeah, licked his pencil, with a little pad.
Wrote in his little job book.
Write this down. Third cave on the left.
Yeah. So how did Tucker Carlson get to go and speak to Putin, but no one else can? Because it's a fucking stage show. That's how.
I bet Rishi Sunak could, if he really wanted to.
He could put it in his pocket.
Better get in his Antil mob car and drive over.
Fire him over with a catapult.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a stage show, isn't it? I think that Russia,
it's all a stage show. It's just all a stage show.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't think of any other thing than the stage show, because none of these people are actually taught. I sometimes wonder whether we're tuned into some kind of parallel universe.
Well, if it wasn't a stage show, and it was us involved, there'd be no wars.
No.
The minute someone invented a gun and a bullet, they got to sell the bullet. The minute someone invented a jib jab, they got to sell the jib jab.
Yeah.
So they've got to sell the war. They've got to.
But it isn't really a war. I mean, the Israeli thing, right? Isn't a war, is it?
No.
Somebody were saying the other day, they were talking to somebody, and they said, "I don't understand. I don't see. They're not showing you bombs falling on Israel." And he said to her, "That's because there isn't any bombs falling on Israel. It's all one sided.
Genocide. I mean, and it's blatant genocide. Mm. Blatant genocide. Beyond World War II.
I don't care who's involved.
Right? This is why
if
you
1,000 people down one side and 50,000 people down the other side, it's one-sided.
Yeah.
If a boxer went into a ring and knocked a guy out in the first 10 seconds, you'd say, that were probably pretty a mismatch.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is what that is. Interesting email. And these emails, you know, are happening all the time now, this type of email. And they're not good emails, because they're negative emails, but they're not negative written to us in a negative way. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Thought I'd share another distressing incident I've witnessed this morning. A colleague of mine came into the office and was breathing extremely heavily from just walking in from the car park to his desk. When I say heavily, I mean he was gasping for air. This man is in his 50s, and his appearance-wise, he looks fit and well for his age. A handful of female colleagues rushed to him in concern, and it must have taken them about half an hour to get him and his breathing under control and stop from shaking from panic. I heard him explaining to the girls that there is something wrong with his heart and lungs, but it sounded like the doctors hadn't diagnosed what it is yet. I honestly thought the guy was going to have a heart attack and fall over dead. I heard the conversation at one point shift to long COVID as a potential blame, but I know what this is.
Yeah. God. I mean, that must have been quite terrifying.
That's what they said, actually.
Some doctors didn't know what it was. It must have been genetic.
It's either genetic or long COVID.
How can a flu-like illness fuck with your heart?
Just does. Look at...
I mean, I'm no doctor, but it didn't make any... There's no logical sense there, is there?
No.
On any level?
No. A phenomenon that's never happened before, apparently.
Suddenly happened.
Yeah. The symptoms and general theme from this morning's incident seems to match quite well with what happened to one of my ex-colleagues, whereby he came into the office one day breathing heavily, almost fainting. He was later diagnosed with severe blood clots in his lungs and also had heart issues. I mean, that's two people in one office.
Yeah.
That. If anybody can say that that's ever happened before, right, I've never seen that. I mean, somebody was telling me a couple of days ago, that their wife works at a flot. I don't know if I mentioned this in the second part, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you did the forest.
Yeah, anyway, it is very distressing, all this.
Hmm. Did you see that?
When you're hearing all the same stories.
Did you see that email
over and over again
that Ross Holt sent with a WHO guy talking about the fact that they're not to blame? They didn't tell anyone. They didn't mandate anything to any government or anything. You don't want any power to do so. I mean, you just think, why are you protesting this? You know, why now are you saying all this?
Yeah, it's a bit late now because...
I've got that guy's name. What's his name, Matt?
He's got
a weird name. I don't think I could even pronounce it, to be fair. But right, yeah, I was watching him talk, and I thought, does he believe this stuff? I'm guessing he doesn't, but there was a point of me, I thought, he didn't look like he's lying, if you know what I mean. Well, I suppose it is true. They didn't force a mandate on anyone, did they? They didn't force
No,
anything.
I mean, it's a video that was played a while ago, that. Let me play it now.
Mm. It's nothing new, but it's interesting, the angle he's given of it. Basically saying it's not our fault.
Yeah, well, I'll play it now.
Let me be clear. WHO did not impose anything on anyone during the COVID-19 pandemic, not lockdowns, not mask mandates, not vaccine mandates. We don't have the power to do that. We don't want it, and we're not trying to get it. Our job is to support governments with evidence-based guidance, advice, and when needed, supplies to help them protect their people. But the decisions are theirs, and so is the pandemic agreement. It has been written by countries, for countries, and will be implemented in countries in accordance with their own national laws. In fact, WHO will not even be a party to the agreement. The parties are governments and governments alone. Far from ceding sovereignty, the agreement actually affirms national sovereignty and national responsibility in its foundational principles. Indeed, the agreement is itself an exercise of sovereignty. It's about the commitments countries are making to keep themselves and each other safer from pandemics. And it recognizes that they can only do that by working with each other.
So what use are they then? Of no use, are they?
So... Well, apparently they're absolutely no use, but yet they managed to close the world down.
Yeah. And it sounds like a bully going, it weren't my fault. You know what I mean? No. What are you blaming me for?
Yeah. I know. Well, it sounds like a lot of these people are coming back and trying to cover their own ass now, don't they?
Well, it was all set. We talked about it at the time, didn't we? It was all set up for that, wasn't it? Mm. We're giving you the offer. All the wording were there, wasn't it?
Yeah, the contract. Sign the contract. Yeah, take the T. Take the T.
Mandates mean nothing. It was all just. Yeah. There was no actual laws put in place at all. It was just all gobbledygook, wasn't it?
Yes.
Everyone just did it anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, which is really the UN, so just another arm from the UN, the Rockefeller Medicine World Health Organization, that's funded by the Gates Foundation and the Wellcome Trust and all these other NGOs. I mean, he's just there. He's the head of a cartel, like a criminal cartel.
Yeah,
that are extortionists. We've mentioned this before. That are extortionists, and you know, again, the tentacles spread wide and far, don't they?
On another subject, if you want to talk about it, someone said at work the other day that they went to see the Bob Marley film. There's a new Bob Marley film out.
Okay.
I couldn't watch it, to be fair, because I can't watch biographies, you know, because there's just lies out there. There's very rarely any truth in it. And I said to him, was it Peter Tosh, who used to be the lead singer of Bob Marley and the Wailers? It's another one of them. I'm not saying Bob Marley were a bad guy, because I don't know him. But he had like 11 kids to, you know, out of his marriage as well. And I said, is that mentioned in his... And they said, no, that's not really mentioned. You say, no, it's really, you know, it's really, really gets you because it's a true story of Bob Marley, etc. Did it mention his 11 illegitimate kids? No, it didn't mention that. Did it mention that Peter Tosh used to be him and Bob Marley were lead singers. He basically brought him into Bob Marley and the Wailers. He brought him into the Wailers, as they were called. It was when they went to America that Peter Tosh left. And what's the other guy called? Bunny Wailer, was it? I think he left as well. And because they liked the image that Bob Marley had. The Americans thought it was more palatable to the Americans and the European audience, if you like. So this manager took him over, and I think he was rewarding Bob Marley more, even though him and Peter Tosh was actually, I think, more of the leader of the band. So they basically ousted him of his own band, then it became Bob Marley and the Wailers. Similar story to Diana Ross and the Supremes. It goes from the Supremes to Diana Ross. These people have got to have egos on them. And I'm not saying they're bad or evil or anything, but, you know, you've got to remember, these peace, love...
Never seems to stack up, does it?
It never seems to stack up. It's not. What I mean is, and they've made a documentary, but not really portrayed. You're not really portraying him if you don't tell that story of it, I don't think. I might be wrong.
Like all these stories, they always miss out the bits they want you, don't want you to hear. A bit like what we just spoke about at the beginning there. You know, there are always good and bad sides to these things, aren't there?
And there's also the conspiracy that he got murdered by putting something in a football boot, I think.
Yeah, which again draws sympathy, doesn't it? That draws sympathy, doesn't it?
But they always blame the cancer on the fact that he smoked loads of weed.
Yeah.
But he got like a rare melanoma cancer in his foot, didn't he?
Yeah. And there's been taught that he got, there were a needle in his boot and his new cowboy boots had got given or something like that. And
football boots, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it was.
It's an interesting story. But I can't watch biographies of people because I just don't, I mean, they did a Queen one. You can't trust it because I know someone who watched it was a Queen fan and they said it was not right. You know, they made out that he knew he had AIDS when he did Band-Aid and stuff and he didn't. And, you know, you can't change things like that, can you?
No, they can if you want. Like we were talking about Quentin Tarantino changing the Manson murders.
Yeah, I just watched that. I rewatched that film, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Mm. But he's you can't deny he's a good director. But then when you think that film...
He's a good director,
They changed the ending. But I was thinking of it different because it's quite a graphic ending. But the film itself, the story all the way through is good. And then it's got like a very graphic ending, the way they changed the story of the Manson. But again, it's still selling the Manson story, isn't it? It's still keeping it alive. Even though chances are most of it was bullshit.
Well, I mean, Tom O'Neill's book has just basically kiboshed all that.
Chaos.
Chaos has just kiboshed the whole Manson story. All these books that have been written on Manson. Yeah. All these things, it's just been kiboshed by 20 years of research by Tom O'Neill.
Yeah. And the guy who wrote the book that everyone, you know, is literally...
Helter Skelter, Bugliosi. Bugliosi. Victor Bugliosi.
Which is the blueprint of the Manson story, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it is the Manson story.
It's the Manson story.
Or it was.
Is it a coincidence that film came out not long after his book came out?
Tom O'Neill's?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Well, he was in, from podcasts I've heard of Tom O'Neill, listened to Tom O'Neill, and he's a great at explaining his book, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I've listened to
it. It's his life story, isn't it, I suppose?
Yeah.
Or part of his life story. Tarantino, he did say, somebody gave Tarantino a copy of his book.
Right.
While he were making the film.
Right.
He didn't read it while he were making the film. I mean, I can sort of understand that if he's got a story in his mind where he wants to do it, reading something else would just throw him off and he's got investors to please and all that type of stuff. But he did have a phone call with Tom O'Neill, apparently,
right?
About it. And he wrote a book afterwards as well. Tarantino wrote a book about the film.
I think he wrote a sequel to the film, didn't he?
Whatever it is. He wrote something. But again, the film itself... And I've heard a few people talk about it. If you think about it, that's quite a tragic film, isn't it? You know,
The story's got blooming horrible murders in it, but yet they can make a film.
They can Hollywoodize it
and change it. Yeah, they can change it, which is disrespectful to the people who died, I suppose.
Yeah, I know.
And also, I got thinking about it the next day because me and my missus watched it. She actually, after watching Django Unchained, she said she'd never watch another Tarantino film. She was going to write him a letter.
right.
Yeah, she literally was. She was furious. She said it was
Why was she furious about it?
She said it was just too violent, it was unnecessary to, again, like in Once Upon a Time, where them guys are getting eaten by dogs. I mean, it's a very visceral thing to see or do in a film. But also, I got thinking.
But you sort of feel this, it serves them right being eaten by dogs, doesn't it? Well,
exactly.
That's the weird thing, isn't it?
This is a Once Upon a Time, and this is a spell, isn't it? And also, you got to think for it. So the protagonists are apparently brainwashed by Manson. And they're all young girls. They're like six, I don't know, teenage, 18 or whatever. But the story is they've been brainwashed by Manson, sent to kill these people. And then they're just getting literally murdered by Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
I mean, you're cheering them on. I mean, that's the actual Hollywood spell, isn't it? You've got a normal person in their house going, smash the fist.
And Brad Pitt apparently harpooned his wife.
That's pretty funny, that bit, to be fair.
No, but he's harpooned his wife, so he's a murderer, killing murderers, and you're cheering him on.
You're cheering him on.
You're cheering a murderer on.
He's murdered his wife for, you know, just being difficult at one period. He's obviously married to her, so she can't be that bad all the time. She's kicking off at him, and then apparently possibly murders her. But then he's basically bashing the head in of a lot of teenagers who've been brainwashed while you cheer him on. This is part of the spell, isn't it?
Yeah.
With these visuals that films give us, like, you know, I sent you like Goodfellas when that guy got stabbed in the back of that car. You've never seen anything like that before, had you? And you're cheering them guys on as well.
Yes.
And they're all evil.
Even though they were evil.
Yeah. They're all evil. Everyone in the film's evil, basically, yeah. aren't they? Every single person.
Every single person. And I'm even that guy that's hung up in that meat van. Everybody. Who you feel with frost all over his face. Yeah.
You're on De Niro's side, and he's evil. Yeah. You're on Ray Liotta's side, and he's evil. They're all in it for themselves.
They're all psychos.
Even his wife is in it for the money. They're all selfish psychopaths. And we cheer them on. And they mesmerise teenagers, myself included, by the way. I used to love
And me. Yeah. And me as well. Yeah. Well, you watch Casino and stuff like that, and you think, you feel sorry for De Niro in that film with his missus. But yeah, he's evil as well.
Yeah. Everybody. And I think we've talked about this before, but they've made the anti-hero, like, I mean, I watched The Equalizer out of just out of interest. It turns into like a bloody horror film where Denzel Washington's a good guy.
Third one.
People up and I've seen the first one. I think I saw the second one. I do watch this stuff out of interest.
It's worse than a Steven Seagal film.
Yeah, well, it's like a Steven Seagal film with more money and
no
it's
wigs.
Denzel Washington in it.
Yeah.
But just they're getting you to cheer. I remember, and I might have mentioned this before, I remember seeing a bit of Gogglebox with Mrs. watching it. I do not watch Gogglebox. Mrs. watching it. And it had
I'm
that old
leave
guy
the room then.
It had an old guy on it in his armchair, and they were watching Taken. You know, the bit where, you know, and it flashed to a bit where they're having a fight. And this sweet old guy sat in his armchair with his missus watching this. And he ends up murdering, and he gets him, and he were going, go on, get him, break his neck, stab him. And you're like, that's got an old guy sat in a chair. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, I know it's entertainment, but it's a bit deeper than that, isn't it? You know,
just a bit. Just a lot.
Shown out. Imagine if none of this existed and we just had nice films. I don't know. An average film now, like that Hollywood one, that them scenes at the end of that are a horror film. It's a horror film, you know. Mm. And Equalizer is a horror film.
Yes.
If you compare that to Rambo, which is a similar kind of revenge-y, whatever, you know, not Rambo, sorry, First Blood, which I actually thought was a good film.
Yeah, First Blood had a decent story. Yeah.
Violent.
But the second, third, and now whatever now 200, insane, just insane.
Although the third one's fascinating because it shows him on side with Al Qaeda.
Yeah, but they're not good films, are they? The first film, you could actually say the first one was a good film.
Well, it was based on a book, wasn't it?
Yeah, the first one was a good film.
Yeah. Do you know who is it was supposed to play the commander? You know, Kirk Douglas was supposed to going to play the.
Right,
you know the guy commander. Who goes after him. No, the guy who goes after him. You know, he's the guy who trained him, the marine.
Right. Okay, right.
But he said he should have died at the end. I think the story was he was supposed to kill Rambo,
right?
Because he created him, so he had to get rid of him. But they changed it.
But going back to your, you don't like the what is it biography type shit? The Netflix or Netflix, the Bernays Fix, they're doing those type of shows now, aren't they, where they're doing Beckham and Wayne Rooney and
Tyson
Fury. Well, it's like a biopic, isn't it, of their supposed lives, but it's not real. I remember, I haven't watched the Beckham one, but my wife watched it.
Yeah, I think mine did as well.
And she said they totally missed out that part where he'd slept with that nanny.
What's her name, Luz?
Yeah, that's Piers Morgan's cousin, that.
Yeah.
And Is it
Piers Morgan's cousin?
Yeah. They basically basically blamed her, but they didn't really go into any detail. They just said it were a bad period in his lives, or you know, it was that type of thing.
He had an affair.
Really brushed over it, right? Yeah.
On his fault though.
No.
I know.
I watched so miserable all the time. But anyway, okay. We will leave it there. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. But
have a nice weekend. Bye.